InfoTrack continues.
In case you haven't noticed, technology has invaded every corner of kids' lives, and parents can struggle to set rules for their children's use of social media and smartphones. Here with the story, InfoTrack reporter Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Our guest today is Dr. Jean Twenge. She's a professor of psychology at San Diego State University and now the author of 10 Rules for Raising Kids in a High-Tech World. Her new book lays out clear research-based steps parents can take to keep smartphones, gaming, and social media from taking over their children's lives. Professor Twenge, you've called today's parents the first generation to raise kids in a high-tech world. What is the biggest mistake you think parents are making when it comes to smartphones and social media?
I think it's really tempting for parents to think, oh, I really want my kid to have a phone so I can contact them at any time. Hand them a smartphone, often a smartphone without any controls on it whatsoever, often the kid's 10 or 11, and they solve that one problem of being able to get in touch with their kid, and that creates 200 other problems, often really big problems in terms of their kid spending way too much time on that device, accessing social media, being able to see pornography, unknown adults being able to contact them, and then you have an 11-year-old with all of these issues. So it's better to wait. And when you do give your kid a phone, for a first phone, one of the rules in the book is first phones should be basic phones, meaning a flip phone or a phone designed for kids that has automatic parental controls, no social media, usually no internet browser.
Your first rule is you're in charge. So why do you think so many parents have lost confidence in setting firm digital boundaries? And how would you advise them to get that back?
So there's a number of factors. We modern parents, you know, we're loving, we want our kids to be happy. Those are very good things. But we also have to think long-term, not just short-term. That somebody told me a long time ago when my own three kids were pretty young, they said, just remember, you're not raising children, you're raising adults. That's what you have to think about is what's best in the long-term. And it's especially hard with technology because it is so pervasive, because most parents today did not grow up with these technologies and don't always have a full understanding of what their kids' TikTok feed or Instagram feed looks like. Even if adults are on these platforms, their feed can look very different from a kid, and their brain is different from a kid. So the effect that this is going to have on a child can be very, very different.
The data that you cite shows teen depression and anxiety rising sharply after 2012, right when smartphones took off. What do you see as the single strongest piece of evidence that tech use is driving that change?
Well, I think there's a number of pieces of evidence. So this is how I came to the topic in the first place, because I look at generational differences. I work with these big data sets that survey teens and have done that for decades. And yeah, around 2012, started to see these big increases in loneliness and in depression and wondering what caused it. Because at first I had no idea, then realizing that was around the same time smartphones and social media became popular. And it's not just that it was the same time. It was also that the rise of those technologies had such a big impact on teens' day-to-day lives that they started to spend a lot more time online, usually alone in their room, and a lot less time spending time socializing with friends in person and less time sleeping. So you put those three things together, less sleep, less time with friends in person, and more time online. That is a terrible formula for mental health.
You also recommend no social media until at least age 16. Now, I think many parents would say that's, I don't know, extreme, crazy, unrealistic when all their kids' friends are online. How do you suggest parents handle that social pressure?
It's a total myth that kids have to have social media to communicate with their friends and find information. It's just not true. They have plenty of ways they can communicate with their friends. Let's say they have a basic phone, like my own two younger kids have, who are 13 and 16. They can text their friends. They can call their friends. They can see their friends in person. And if they want information, they have the rest of the internet. So this idea that it has to be algorithmic social media just is not true. So my oldest is 18, and she said something recently I thought was really insightful in terms of social media and teenagers and communicating with each other and friends. She said, look, anybody who will not communicate with you if you don't use a certain social media platform is not actually your friend. They will find another way.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Dr. Gene Twenge, the author of the book 10 Rules for Raising Kids in a High-Tech World, and we're getting advice for parents to keep smartphones, gaming, and social media from taking over their children's lives. Another rule is no devices in the bedroom overnight, which, as a parent, I think is really wise advice. Why is that particular rule so critical, and how can parents actually enforce it without a nightly battle?
So, preserving sleep, really, really important for physical and mental health. So even if the other rules seem tough to follow, I tell parents you can follow just one. It should be this one, because then you're not having the technology interfere with sleep. Common Sense Media tracked 11 to 17-year-olds' phones recently and found that the majority of them were using their phones between midnight and 5 a.m. on school nights. So this has to stop. And the best way to do that is to physically get the phone out of the bedroom. You can also put parental controls so it'll shut down. But there's studies showing that even the presence of the phone in the bedroom overnight can disrupt sleep.
You emphasize giving kids real-world freedom. How does that counterbalance the restrictions on their digital lives?
Well, we have vastly underprotected kids in the digital world, and we have overprotected them in the real world. So we need to bring those two back into balance. So the real-world freedom piece is really important, that if they're not on screens, what else are they going to be doing? And the answer to that, in part, is seeing friends in person, doing independent activities, like, say, walking or biking to school. Even if it's stuff around the house, though, learning how to do their own laundry, learning how to cook, making phone calls to set up appointments. You know, these are all things that a lot of teens today don't get experience with, and then they go to college and they don't know what to do because they don't know how to do these basic tasks of adulting.
What would you say to parents who think that it's already too late, that their 13-year-old is glued to TikTok and there's just no turning back at that point?
You're the parent. You can turn it back. And there's a number of ways that you can do that. So for a 13-year-old, good to get specific about it. If they have a smartphone without parental controls, you have got to dial that back immediately because they've probably already seen pornography and they may be doing that on a regular basis. If they're on TikTok, they may be spending hours and hours a day on it, often when they don't intend to. So if they have a smartphone, you can say, hey, you know, I realized I made a mistake. I'm going to get you this phone that will still allow you to text your friends, but you can't have social media on it because I realized that was a mistake. And if they throw a fit, well, first of all, you're the parent. You got to roll with that. Second, you can say it's this or no phone, or it's this or a flip phone. Those are the choices.
In addition to no phones in the bedroom, you also call for no phones during the school day. Have you seen schools successfully implement that? And what impact does that have on learning and social life?
This has really started to gain traction just in the last year or so. And principals who have implemented this just rave about it. They say kids are actually talking to each other at lunch again. Teachers will say, now I don't have that battle that I have every period with getting kids off their phone so they can focus on the lesson in class. Principals also say that they see a huge decline in discipline issues when they implement policies of no phones during the school day bell to bell. Among other things, it's become shockingly common at middle schools and high schools for students to film each other without their permission, you know, often in a vulnerable situation like in a bathroom or in a locker room, and then post the video. So no phones during the school day bell to bell is a solution to that problem.
After researching this for years and parenting your own teens, as you mentioned, what rule has been hardest for you personally to follow, and what did you learn from that experience?
I mean, I think the one that's maybe been the hardest is no phones during vacation because, you know, my kids want to listen to music during the car ride, and I get that, you know, car rides can be boring. So we kind of come to a compromise of we're going to do that for part of the ride, but then the other part of the ride, we're going to have a conversation as a family. And that's been really cool. So my youngest, who's 13, will say, hey, question for the car. And then we all have to give our opinion or tell our favorite thing or something. And it's led to some really interesting conversations. And I do like that, even though I also know that car rides and plane rides and so on are one of those situations where technology can help pass the time.
Dr. Twenge, we're nearly out of time, but do you have any final words of advice or encouragement for parents?
One aphorism I really like is don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And what that means is do what you can. You're not going to win all the time. You're going to make mistakes. That's okay. But you can do a lot of good, even if you just follow some of the rules successfully.
Dr. Gene Twenge, the author of 10 Rules for Raising Kids in a High-Tech World. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.